This podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Listen to other great tech podcasts at www.techpodcasts.com.
Tech Webcast.
Streamed from our brains to our mouths, to your ears, to your brain. It's like our brains are holding hands. Brain hands. That doesn't really make sense, but Tech Webcast does. Tech stuff, gadgets, games. Come and wander around geek heaven with us. Tech Webcast, here, now, holding brain hands.
Welcome to episode 276 of the Tech Webcast podcast, recorded on the 15th of February 2014. Tech Webcast is recorded every Saturday and rebroadcast on Aussie Tech Heads on Thursday evenings at 7 p.m. Please rate us on iTunes and like us at facebook.com/techwebcast. Your hosts today are Brad, Jen, Bev, and myself, Andrew. And our very special guest today is Anna Anderson, who is the co-founder and chief digital officer at Passari.com. G'day, Brad. How are you on this Saturday, mate?
Fantastic, mate. And yourself?
Yep, doing very well. It's a bit warm outside, but I think it's going to rain. I've got a wedding to go to this afternoon, so I'm hoping the sunshine holds out.
I love the rain when it rains here.
Yeah, it's beautiful, isn't it?
It
particularly
is.
With all the fires and smoke we've had, the rain actually get rid of some of that smoke,
definitely,
which we've been looking for all week.
Definitely. Mate, how's your week been? Any exciting things been happening?
Yeah, really good, actually. We've been really busy with work. We're starting to pull a really nice app together, so
nice.
Getting ready for South by Southwest, where I'm off to next month, and I might have a bit of an announcement next week's show about my little app. So,
cool.
A lot of cool things happening, right?
Can't wait, mate. I think I know what it is too. I'm not going to say that.
Probably too, but yeah, I'll leave that till next week.
Okay, we got Jennifer on. Welcome back, Jennifer.
Hey, thank you. How's it going?
I'm good. How are you going?
I'm doing well. I was setting up my Piper earlier tonight, which is that home automated security system, and I put the sensors on the doors. So now every time my front door opens or my back door opens, I get a notice on my phone telling me that the doors are open, and which I'm the only one here, so
cool.
It doesn't really matter, but it's cool nonetheless.
It is very excellent. Yeah, it is. What have you been up to, Jennifer, the past week? Any exciting things or...?
Oh, gosh, nothing too exciting. I did get some downloads and films, and I started watching Thor.
Okay, cool.
That was good. Yeah, it was good.
Really good looking, that guy.
Oh, my gosh, isn't he? Wow.
I watch those movies, you know.
Yeah.
I'm the same way, Anna.
Jennifer, have you checked out House of Cards yet, the new season 2?
So that started today, and no, I have not. I've been working all day, so I haven't had a chance to check it out, but I can see a good portion of my weekend being dedicated to Kevin Spacey.
Kevin Spacey,
and, you know, chilling with Kevin Spacey over the weekend, yeah.
Good stuff. Okay, we've got Beverly back on. Welcome, Beverly from Queensland.
Hello, Bray. How are you?
I'm good. How's your week been, and what have you been up to? Anything exciting?
The week has been very big, busy. We've had beautiful, beautiful sunshine up here. Not like you guys over there with your cold and your hot and then the snow overseas. We've had nice tropical weather. And yes, busy, busy, busy doing testing and working on Zafo, ready for Andrew to go to South by Southwest.
Wicked. Yep, that sounds good. Can't wait for Andrew to get over there and promote the hell out of that.
Yeah, me too. Can't wait.
Yeah. And also we've got Anna on. Welcome, Anna. How are you?
Hi, how are you guys? I'm great. Good. Thank you so much for having me on.
Good to have you on. You've been on here before as well, haven't you? Been on this podcast?
Yeah, no, I remember last time I was on here, I was actually at a baseball game.
Yeah, you were.
So it was really, like, I was at the stadium, and I think it was the playoffs. So it was just really, you remember? I was like,
yes.
It was crazy in the background. So I remember that was an interesting, you know, an interesting podcast.
Good stuff. How's your dogs?
They're good. Actually, one of them is on my lap right now, so he's actually technically also a guest on the podcast.
What's that dog's name?
His name is Bonnie.
Oh, Bonnie. Oh, Bonnie. Bonnie or Bonnie?
Bonnie, like V.
Oh, okay. Nice. Good name. Okay, Jennifer, let's jump into some news, and then, we'll come back to it very shortly.
Let's jump into the news. So the first story is coming from Mac Rumors and is about Apple's new vision for Apple's TV. They're saying it's less ambitious than before. Apple's plans for its revamped Apple TV have been scaled back compared to what they were previously intending, according to the Wall Street Journal. The publication obtained content... my bird just came right up and flew up right at me. I apologize. According to the publication, Apple was originally approaching media companies directly to obtain content rights for an ambitious a la carte internet-enabled TV set-top box, but has since gone in a different direction. And to quote here, it says, "In the current discussions, which involve at least two big media companies, Apple envisions working with cable companies rather than competing against them," the people said. For programming, it would rely on cable providers to acquire programming rights from media companies rather than acquire them on their own, the people said. And Apple might consider seeking some rights directly in the future, one of them said. So it looks like they've been trying to negotiate with companies like CBS and Disney to offer the network's content directly to Apple customers over the internet, cutting out the cable and satellite providers like Comcast, Time Warner, DirecTV. However, the media companies consistently pulled out of negotiations, fearing that any potential deal with Apple could damage their own revenue streams. So it looks like the approach will be to partner with the cable companies rather than cutting them out. And moving on to the next story. This one also is from Mac Rumors. It is about the alleged iPhone 6 prototype depicted in images. Not certain how accurate this actually is because some people think that these images may be fake, but the story does have some leaked images of the iPhone 6 and... so they say, and it shows that it's 4.7 inches diagonally, 2.3 inches wide, which is the same width as the existing iPhone 5S, but they also anticipated that it will be manufactured in multiple sizes, rumoring one at 4.7 inches, another one at 5.5 inches, and 5.7 inches, so we shall see. All right, moving right along to the next story. This is coming from The Verge. Google wants to help you get steamy in front of a fireplace. So replacing your regular wood right now, you can do that by using your Chromecast and turning on Google Play Music and then setting the background to be a beautiful fireplace. So that's kind of like what Google does all the time anyway. They always have something clever and cute, you know, whether it be falling snowflakes on a photo or falling hearts, and now they have the fireplace for your Chromecast. So definitely check that out. Since it is Valentine's Day here in the States, check out the warm and toasty fireplace that Google Chromecast is offering. Okay, moving on to the next story. This is coming from tvtonight.com.au. And it is about Telstra. So we were talking about Chromecast. Well, Telstra is talking with Chromecast, and they are talking about getting Chromecast in Australia. So that would be fantastic. Right now it's retailing in the States for $35, and there are serious talks right now for it to come out to Australia, and just stay tuned for more information on that. So moving on to the next story, again from tvtonight.com.au. Should Foxtel pay FTA networks a retransmission fee? That is the question. Yeah, it's a challenging one at that. So right now, free TV is available, and it has welcomed... recognizes that subscription television providers benefit commercially because they are able to provide free-to-air channels as part of their subscription packages without having to negotiate a commercial-free or conditions with broadcasters. However, it looks like Foxtel, in order to broadcast those local channels, will have to pay a retransmission fee. So that's the debates here, and there's a poll if you want to fill it out. Should Foxtel pay to retransmit free-to-air networks? And, you know, that could be passed along to the consumer as well. So, you know, my vote is no. But so definitely take a look at that story. We'll put the link in the show notes, I believe. And moving on to the next story, another one from TVTonight.com.au. And this one is about TV programmers and how they rate their own EPG accuracy. EPG stands for Electronic Program Guide, and they have a great rating on here, and it shows which different networks, how they feel that their EPGs are. So Channel 7 is ranked in Australia, is ranked 10 out of 10. 10, evidently Channel 10, is also ranking a 10. And Foxtel ranks a 10. SBS ranks a 9. ABC ranks a 9. And Channel 9 ranks an 8. So, you know, that's always an important thing, having your program channel guide working the correct way. And, you know, especially if there's live events, you want to have some accurate data there. So good to know that they're keeping up with it in Australia. So the next story is coming from Engadget. Xbox One Media Remote briefly surfaces, and it hints at a March 4th release. So, you know, between Kinect, Smart Glass, and the Xbox One controller, there's plenty of ways to control Microsoft's new home operating system, home entertainment system, but there's no additional clicker for media hounds. Well, that might change next month. A pre-order page for an Xbox One media remote briefly appeared on Amazon's Canadian web store today, revealing an image and a price and little else. So it wasn't up for too long. They did take it down, but the price tag was going for a $24.99 Canadian price tag, which is $22.69 here in the States, and a March 4th release date. So stay tuned for that. And moving on to the next story, this one's coming from Mac Rumors. Apple's iTunes radio streaming music service launches in Australia, finally. Woohoo!
Yay. I'm so happy.
I know you love it.
I do.
So they finally launched it. Australia has been the first non-US country to get the service after it was launched in the States in September. And it was reported that Apple is also looking to launch iTunes Radio in the UK, Canada, New Zealand in 2014 as well. But as for now, it is in Australia. So just a little bit about iTunes Radio. It is free radio service featuring over 100 stations and an incredible catalog of music combined with features only iTunes can deliver. So definitely works with your iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, Mac, PC, or Apple TV.
Good one, Jennifer. Great stuff. Thanks for doing the news.
Sure. There was one other one. I didn't know if you wanted the story or not, but you had it in there.
No, I didn't put it there. I didn't put it there. Someone must.
Oh, you didn't. Okay, no. Somebody else did, I guess.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, that was it.
Great stuff, Jennifer. iTunes Radio, Andrew. Have you been using it, mate?
I have, right, I have. We've been using it actually at work. We have a big screen you know, at work up on the wall, and we connect to it all day when we're sort of coming together and working through things on the boardroom table. And,
nice.
And we have an Apple TV hooked up to that, and we've had the iTunes radio on all week just running in the background, and we sort of change the channel.
Mm-hmm.
In the morning, you kind of get a few, you know, classicals and things like that, maybe a bit of pop at lunchtime, and by the afternoon, it's kind of rock and roll, baby. That's how it's working.
have you made any stations yet, Andrew, on there?
Not that high tech, Brad. So we're just playing around with the headings at the moment. So maybe next week, we'll see how we go. But right. Really enjoying the service, and it's great that we've got that only a couple sort of, I guess, a few months after the States have grabbed that. I think it's a really good feature, and you know, it does have a few ads in there, which is fine. They're not too overbearing, but it's really easy to use and quite enjoyable.
If you got iTunes Match, Andrew, you can actually have no ads in that.
Yeah, I saw that. So that might be something. We've only started using that. I guess it only released this week, but I think it's a great service. It's really good.
Have you got any views on the pay TV or the EPG articles?
Look, the Apple TV one, having to move in a less ambitious direction, I guess it makes a lot of sense. I mean, Warner Brothers, I think, not Warner Brothers, Time Warner were one of the major media companies that they were rumored to be working with to try and actually push some content through the Apple TV. And it looks like that's fallen over because Time Warner sort of got to the conclusion that if people buy the Apple unit for $100, then they may start looking at disconnecting their $80 a month subscription to cable networks and things, which is exactly what I would do in that state. So it's frustrating that those plans have fallen through. But in saying that, it's great that Apple are looking at that sort of direction, streamed media content, high-end content. They put the box out for $100, which is obviously nothing in today's day and age. At that price, you'd almost give it away for free. It's just sure that people who buy it use it. But it's good that Apple are really looking at trying to get some high-end content. Didn't work this time, but it will work at some point in time. So, keep trying, keep going with it.
And what about the Foxtel Pay 3D networks, Andrew? What about that one? You got a view on that one?
I don't have a huge one on that. I think it's hard in Australia because, we've got such a small population, a long space. We've really only got one pay TV provider.
Yeah.
I think they probably should pay free-to-air a retransmission fee.
Mm-hmm.
For the sake of convenience to Foxtel customers. But in saying that, it's a bit of a challenge because free-to-air TV, their money, they're offering a free service and they're paid from advertisements. So, I think it's a really tricky one from a commercial aspect, but I don't think we've got the time on the show to go through that.
All right, good stuff. All right, what about you, Bev? Any views in them stories at all?
Yeah, I was just thinking with the Foxtel, the free-to-air, that might be okay, they have to pay for it, but then are they going to put that extra cost back up to us? So then our monthly payments will probably go high.
Yeah, maybe. Haven't they already put your price up at all? Are you paying more now?
Yeah, I'm not exactly how much more, but Wayne said, my God, look how much it's gone up.
Yeah.
And it was noticeable for him to say that. So if they go ahead and do pay for free-to-air channels, then no. I say no, don't let them do it because it's going to cost us more.
Yeah.
And like Andrew said, we've only got one type of like a Foxtel in Australia and that's our only one. So,
exactly.
Yeah. And then with the iTunes stuff that you were talking about, the radio, when Andrew comes up next week, we're going to have it in the Queensland office.
Oh, sweet. Good. Yeah, it's very, very easy to use, Bev. Just open up your phone and then click on the music app and then you have it there. So. It's very very cool.
I try to be high tech, but sometimes it's like, okay, I need to see it work. Watching Andrew do it or seeing somebody. Yep, okay, fine. Now I know what to do.
Yes. So let him organize it for you. It's very easy to see.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
Any stations you want, you can put on there, and it's very cool.
Yeah, I know, it's fantastic. I can't wait.
What about you, Anna? Do you have any views in them stories?
Not really. I don't think.
Okay. All right. Yeah. What about you, Jennifer? Do you have any views on them stories?
Well, I have got to say that I've been seeing you tweet and Facebook post a lot about iTunes Music, Apple, the Apple Music. And so I'm really happy that that is now in Australia. I was shocked that you didn't have it at launch, and it's great that you have it there. Also, I'm excited about Chromecast coming to Australia, probably.
Yes. Hopefully.
Yeah, that will be fantastic. I'm trying to think of what else. Having a remote for the Xbox One, that will be great, but I don't have an Xbox One. But for those that have it, I think that will be very nice.
Mm-hmm.
And the retransmission fee, the whole thing just annoys me. Just the whole that the networks have with this content, and it really just needs to be liberated, and all these contracts that are in place, I just kind of wish, I'd like for everything just to start from scratch and for people to be able to get what they want, which is a la carte TV.
Exactly.
You know, and Yeah, and it's just really challenging to make that happen because these networks really have these cable companies where they want them. I mean, even here in the States, it was, oh gosh. Anna, which one was that where, was it CBS that just stopped, like, all of a sudden people couldn't watch CBS on their cable? Was it CBS or NBC?
I think it was, might have been NBC.
NBC? Yeah.
I do remember something like that happening.
Yeah, it was a big deal. And it was all because the company didn't, like the cable company decided not to sign the retransmission fee, I think that's what happened. And then as a result, all those people that subscribed to cable weren't able to see one of the largest networks in the nation. Mm-hmm. And it was a big deal. So, you know, I'd hate for something like that to happen out there. But at the same time, you shouldn't have to pay more, you know, unless the people just got HD antennas and then use that alongside with their cable.
Yeah.
And that way they get their locals via the HD antenna and then got, you know, everything else with cable.
When did you guys go digital over there, Jennifer? I meant to ask you this question last time. How long have you gone digital over there? How long has it been?
Oh, gosh. And has it been about 3 years now?
Yeah, I think so. Yep.
It sounds about right.
Okay, 3 years. Okay.
It's been a few years. Yeah, it's been a few years when they finally cut it and made everyone get, you'd have to get the converter box if you had an old TV. Maybe it was longer than that.
No, maybe it was five, like more like
five.
Oh, wow.
I remember they had commercials and like it was a big deal because it wasn't like an easy transition, you know, because like everybody had to get a box and it was, I remember it was a big hassle.
Yeah, it's 5 years is about right.
That's a long time. Right.
For us, Brad, about what, 5 days?
Yeah, more like it.
Yeah, probably about a month.
We just moved over to
digital from analog. So, I'm just curious to know. Yeah, it was good.
Although everyone here's been using digital, I think only the old people homes and stuff like that were still on the analog, and maybe a few, you know, hospital waiting rooms and stuff like that. But everyone else is on digital. So
yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. All right, Jennifer, is that it? Is that all you want to say?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, that's it.
Yeah,
right.
No, I want to say something about the iPhone 6.
Yep.
So I don't think, I mean, I don't necessarily think that the images are fake because I think they're coming out with a lot of different models to test, see that which one will be like the best seller. You know, that's what I've read, that they're going to release like a few different types of phones and then they're going to test it with the market and see which ones are the best sellers and then they'll make more of those. So I wouldn't be surprised if they did something different, you know, like
Definitely. Yeah. What iPhone do you have, Anna, at the moment?
I have the 5. I usually don't buy the in-between models because I just don't want to waste money, you know.
Okay.
So I have a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then I'll have the 6.
Nice.
I got myself on the S transition, but now I'm back on the 4 one, so I'll be getting the 6 when it comes out. But what are your thoughts, Anna, around the size of the 5 versus the size, of an Android or Samsung Galaxy or something like that? What are your thoughts around? Do you prefer the current handset size, or would you prefer to see sort of the iOS running on something the size of an S4?
Who's that question to, Andrew, Jennifer?
To Anna.
Oh, to Anna.
I'm sorry, can you repeat the question? I didn't hear it.
Okay, sure. You've got the current size of an iPhone 5 screen, and then you've obviously got things like the Android, you know, Galaxy S5 or Samsung sort of Android handsets, which are bigger than the iPhone. What are your thoughts around iPhone making a handset the same size as the Galaxy S4? Do you like the current size, or would you prefer to see the iOS operating system running on a phone bigger, the size of sort of a Samsung Galaxy?
Well, I actually, you know, I have the Note, the Galaxy Note, and I really don't like it because it's gigantic and I never use it. Like, I always use my iPhone and my iPad, so I just kind of feel like, you know, I don't think the screen needs to be bigger. I think, basically, it just needs to maybe just be slightly bigger but not gigantic like the Android, the Galaxies and those kind of things. But I mean, maybe that's what some people are preferring, that because some of my friends prefer bigger screens like the Note and the Galaxy. So but I like iPhone because it fits in your purse. Like if you have a clutch, like I go out a lot and I want a small phone, I don't want this gigantic block in my clutch, you know. So
No, I understand.
Yeah.
I think Apple are really lost with what to do, whether they keep the current size or move on to something that would be better, whether or not they're sort of competing with the size of a Samsung Galaxy or whether they're competing with a different operating system, as in do people move to a Galaxy for the operating system or the size of the phone? I think they really don't know, so they'll probably release an iPhone 6.
That's a really good question, yeah. And that's, do you know if there's been studies done on that?
I don't. I'd love to know, and, you know, obviously see what the accuracy is. But I think they, and I could be, you know, I'm just making an assumption, but I think they really don't know, and because of that, they'll probably release that, you know, the 4-inch plus a 4.7 and just see where it goes. And maybe the iPhone 7 or the 6S, maybe that particular handset will only be in one size if, you know,
one does the best out of all, right?
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right.
Yep. No, that's exactly what I predict them doing. So
yeah,
it's a smart thing to do.
All right. Good. Yeah. All right. Let's move on to the guests. Andrew, who's on the guests today, mate? Anna.
We have Anna Anderson from Pisari.com. How are you doing today, Anna?
Good. How are you guys? Thanks so much for having me on.
No problem.
So tell us a little bit about Pisari. We've sort of had a look at it, and I think it's a fantastic concept and one that technology companies, particularly when you look at how much digital we use these days, it's great that we've got sort of tech people probably in I don't know if you guys are particularly a startup, but in that particular path. So why don't you just give us a bit of a description of what Pisari is all about?
Well, you know, Pisari, our vision is to be, you know, the online platform for end-of-life management. And yes, it's, you know, end of human life, meaning death. You know, so our goal is to actually help people deal with all those kind of issues, you know, no matter what it is, if somebody dies or you want to plan ahead, you know, you want to prepare, or like writing a will. Or, you know, if you actually, somebody dies and you need to connect with a funeral home, we will literally connect with a funeral home, because the second piece of Pisari is actually a SaaS, you know, which runs the funeral homes. So, you know, our customers are actually the funeral homes too, because we sell them the SaaS to give them the opportunity to communicate with a digital consumer. For example, if somebody doesn't want to go into a funeral home, or they don't even want to work with a funeral home, or they could do this themselves with the SaaS that we've built. So kind of, you know, and there's also a marketplace there where you can actually book travel for the family when somebody dies, because families in the U.S. now are really scared. So this actually helps organize everything in place, you know, during a stressful time. And, you know, we hope that this is a perfect time, because we're our website next week. So, you know, you will see, you know, a lot more content, a lot more organized flow. And then we're doing a lot of different things this year, adding to the website, because we've been really focused on the back end, because that's where the core of the product is. So that's kind of where we are today. And we've been around for a little bit over a year, and we have about 20 people now in startups.
Wow, that's a really good, and I think you guys are doing something that's quite different and innovative, where I think there's a lot of online companies which are probably run more from funeral homes, which try and do these sorts of things, but a lot of those sort of funeral homes are very much quite often mom-pa sort of setups, where, you know, they don't use digital the way that we do. So it's really great to see a startup which probably encompasses a lot of technology-focused people actually trying to do it from a different direction and potentially get a better result. I think, you know, going through your website and having a look at some of the articles and things around about you guys, it's really great that you've kind of got this focus on a digital perspective as well of what you need to plan ahead for, you know, as far as all of your accounts and these sorts of things, which I think a lot of people these days don't consider or don't think about. And, you know, I think it's a great system that you've sort of got. And just one question, are you guys actually doing this working with vendors across the USA, or are you sort of trying to get people on board and then dealing with vendors on a one-off after that, as you sort of, you know, initially engage with a person?
Well, so far we have about 80 funeral homes, and they're all over the country. So when we relaunch our website, you will see a map. and you could click on the state and you could see which vendors we have in that state. So those are the funeral homes that are running our platform, that are running our SaaS. You know, so they're basically operating, you know, this schedule. There's the arrangement, so that's when the family comes into the funeral home. There's the marketplace for them to display their products, you know, so you can do all of this on the iPad, and you know, this actually makes life a lot easier for them, because as like in last year, I never thought I would be in this industry, but last year I got to visit like probably 10 funeral homes, and I looked at their operations and how they run their business, and they literally like have whiteboards where they write on them. Mm-hmm. You know, and they put these, like, and if somebody comes and erases something, they're pretty much, you know, everything's going to be messed up. Like, and that's how behind the industry is. So, you know, it is really exciting because it's changing a lot of, like, I mean, it's really shifting the industry by, you know, this product that we're building.
I think a lot of people talk about disrupting industries. So this is one place in context where I really do agree with that, with what you're doing. But I think a lot of the market, you know, at the end of the day, you know, an end-of-life arrangement, it can be a lot simpler for people who are sort of, you know, in retirement and these sorts of things. But I think this will also help push a lot of younger people as well to make these sorts of things because they can do it themselves. I think one of the issues with end-of-life is people are too embarrassed to actually go somewhere and talk to people and go through this sort of thing. If they can select some of these options in the comfort of their own home on an iPad, I think it's going to embrace a whole new market of people who take this on board.
Yeah, exactly. No, and I totally agree with you because I actually just did. I mean, I didn't have a will or anything before I started. Okay, sorry. So, I mean, and now I did that, and it's not, you know, it actually isn't that difficult to do, and it's actually a really simple process. So, I think, I hope that, you know, a lot of younger people will also do those things because it is important, you know, to be prepared because you never know. Life is fatal, right? So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. It's the one fundamental flaw of life is death.
I have a question for you. Does it cost any money? Does it charge? Do you have to? Is it free or is it paid?
Well, for the consumer, it's free. So consumers never pay anything. But okay. For the funeral home, yes, we do charge them an annual base fee to use the platform.
Okay. Nice one.
So that's where our revenue comes from, and then the second part is the marketplace, where people purchase, you know, send flowers and book travel and things like that.
Cool. How long have you been, when did you start this? How long have you been with them?
Well, we like literally started this last November. So in November, you know, basically we turned one. So like a year and a quarter almost. And now we're trying to raise more money and, you know, because you know how that goes. So, so we're focused on that. We're relaunching. We're trying to onboard new, you know, clients. So it's a lot. It's just a lot of things going on, but it's also exciting. But we really, you know, we have to move fast because, you know, this is a good idea. So there's probably going to be competition.
Yep.
We have competition, and there's always something, you know. So there's you always have to move fast kind of situations and startups.
All right, Jennifer. Any questions?
Yeah, definitely. First, I have to echo what the other said, that this is a fantastic idea. It's kind of a one-stop shop for your end-of-life needs.
Exactly.
And yeah, and it's great, especially for people like us that are, you know, my interface, the way I communicate with the world is with my computer, right? And that's how I do things. If I can't pay a bill online, what do I do? You know, I mean, things like that. So it's all online. So it just makes sense. One of the questions I have, so I'm looking through the different tools that you have, and here's a tool that says how to manage your digital assets. So that, to me, is a huge thing today because I thought, you know, I think, you know, I do have a will, but if I were to drop dead tomorrow, the majority of my family, you know, they wouldn't know how to access my stuff, you know. Does this give tips for that, like on
yes.
How to, okay.
Yeah, no, it gives you exactly tips how to shut down like all of your accounts from Google Plus to Facebook, not shut them down, but prepare for shutting down. And also, you know, what information you need to give to your lawyer or your next of kin or your executor. You know, so basically it just walks you step by step of how to deal with all those things because you actually attach your digital assets to your will so you could really you know, that's what I'm doing with that. You just have to really specify what they are, like if you have, you know, domains, because I have a lot of domains. So that's digital assets. Facebook is digital assets. But you could, you know, you just have to literally sit down, make a list of what you have, and then kind of put it down on paper. And it's kind of, it's a tedious process, actually. But, you know, we all have to do it someday, right?
Yeah. No, this is, it is tedious, but the fact that you have it laid out here to kind of help people move through that process, I think that that's a huge selling point right there, even, because that's, you know, I mean, who here doesn't have that concern? I would say 99% of people right now really have that concern of, you know, what do you do? You know, it's like I have valuable things stored in my Dropbox and just a lot of valuable stuff and you know, websites galore. And so I understand. Yeah, I'm pretty excited about your site. So, like, if I were to get started after you guys launch, like, I know you're – this is in beta, but next month the full version of the site is coming out?
Yeah, so probably I would say by April there's going to be – you're going to be able to actually create an account and then start the process. So, you know, I think that's probably – yeah, so probably a month and a half or so. But we, you know, the better version of the website is coming next week, and there's going to be a lot more content even than you see now. So
okay, that's great. That is great. And so, and you can use this for your loved ones as well, not just yourself. It says, you know, if somebody just passed away, this kind of helps with that as well for the immediate need.
Well, yeah, like there's also grief issues, you know. So basically, you know, we address the aftercare part too, you know, because that's a really big deal. And that's what people are talking about actually, you know, online. So that's actually a really good place to reach out to people. Also get them to plan ahead and, you know, also help them deal with their loss. And, yeah, so we hope to address all those issues.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, I'm impressed. I'm going to be using this. Cool. It's a depressing, you know, topic, but it's something that we all need to be prepared with. And, you know, and that's the one thing that we all have in common. And I'll, you know, so many people do not do wills. And even when I did my will about a year or two ago, my parents were like, "Oh, you don't need a will. You're too young for a will." I'm like, "You don't know. You know, I mean, anything can happen. You can get hit by a truck. You know."
Yeah, for you for doing that. That's great. No, I just did mine too last year, and I feel really good about doing it. So.
Oh, that's great. That's great. I haven't done my digital assets, though, so that's next to my list.
So where does your house not go to, Jennifer, if you die?
Everything goes to Melissa, my brother, so Melissa, okay. Frank, and, you know, that's okay. It pretty much. If my parents are still around, which they better be around before, I selfishly would prefer to die.
I can't believe we're talking about dying.
So. Yeah, that's what I prefer. I mean, that's kind of how I feel too.
I just don't want to go through it.
Any other questions, Jennifer?
Not at the moment. No, right. I'm. This is really different. It's
it is
great to talk with you about this.
It is. Okay, Beverly, do you have any questions for Anna?
Actually, I haven't got a question, but I've got a little story to tell you about this kind of thing. We've got a friend, and his name is Dave Gray, and he's a comedian back in my youthful days, around your ages. And when he dies, he's actually going to be put into some kind of chamber, and I think this is through a funeral parlor, Anna. And with him, it's like a big capsule. They'll put him in there, and in 100 years' time, they will wake him up. Now, what happens, and they're going to use his body for maybe different diseases if they combat them later in life or something that, you know, they're not sure about. But it's interesting because he's telling us all the things that he has to do. And I'll tell him about your company because he said, "Oh, you've got to tell them all your family and then their family so that when he wakes up or they bring him back, who his family is, where can he contact his family?" So it's really interesting that you've come on the show today, and we were only talking about that with him last week. But putting his digital assets to his will is a brilliant idea. So I'm definitely going to tell him about that. We're going to see him on Saturday And it's just, yeah, it's amazing. But he's a comedian, and he's always said he'll, you know, he'll send his body over, and that's when they all decide we'll bring him back, and what they can do with it, whatever. Yeah, it's interesting.
That is very interesting.
Wow. Mm. Very interesting.
I'd hate to come back in 100 years' time. Like, what would it be like?
I have no idea, Beverly. I have no idea.
And you know what? It cost a lot of money for him to do it too.
Well, how much? How much?
Because I'm not exactly sure, but it's costing a fortune because they've got to keep his body frozen in this capsule for 100 years. Jeez. So it's interesting.
Very interesting. Okay, Anna, what else do you do with yourself besides what you do now? You go to baseball and stuff, as a young man.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to the baseball season starting here soon. You know, we're like, it's going to start in April. Actually, March, probably at the end of March. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm an A's fan.
Cool.
For life. Not a Giants fan. I love the A's because I love American League baseball. And, you know, so this year I'll probably won't be going to as many games because I have a lot of stuff going on with the startup, other projects and all these things. So, but I'm looking forward to it.
Good stuff. Do you ever check out any Australian sports at all?
I'm sorry?
Do you ever check out any Australian sports?
Like rugby, yes. Of course. Yeah, no, my father's a big fan, so, you know, he always had it on. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I know you guys big. Do you have, I mean, you have soccer too.
Yeah, we have soccer, yeah. Soccer and AFL. Yeah, so,
I'm a big soccer fan too because I'm from Russia originally, so that's kind of our sport, and hockey.
Have you ever been to Australia before?
No, I actually haven't. That's on my list to one places to I want to go for sure.
Yeah, for sure, definitely. Go to Sydney and walk over the Sydney Harbour Bridge.
Yeah,
I know. You've got a bit of an interest in shoes, and you've got a website or a blog. I Want Her Shoes. What's that about? Is that something on the side, sort of a bit of a hobby?
Yeah, actually, that's going to be my side project this year, and you know, I'm really excited about it. I've been wanting to do it for a while. And, you know, what it's going to be, what it's going to start as, it's going to be basically a curated website for everything about shoes, you know, so I'm trying to build a community around shoes. So right now there really isn't any website out there that just focuses on shoes. You know, that's my goal because I love shoes and I've always wanted to do this. So this year I'm going to spend some time and see what happens. And hopefully we can build a community.
The next question is, of course, how many shoes do you have?
Well, you know, that's kind of, I have quite a few.
Stepped over the line there.
Yeah, probably more 300 or so. Yeah, it's great. I mean, I've collected them for years, so it's not just like, you know.
Do you have a favorite pair, Anna?
I do have a favorite pair. I have they're actually they're Jimmy Choo's and they're these wedges. They're yellow, and cool. I always wear them to the A's games because the A's colors are yellow and green, so they work really well for the A's games, and they're really comfortable. So
You should send us a photo on Facebook and so we can see them. Any more questions, Andrew? We should wrap up very soon.
Just jumping back to Pasari for a moment. You said that you guys have sort of been running now for about just over a year. You've got 20 people there. Do you want to just give us a quick overall of the process that you guys have had to run through? By the sounds of it, it looks like you've sort of raised some seed fund and a little bit more, and now you're probably looking down the path of a Series A. What's been some of the, I guess, positives, challenges and frustrations in actually doing that and making sure, and I guess, what's been your part in that? Have you been sort of in that role of, you know, working with the guys there to raise funds as well, or have you sort of been in a different part of the business?
Yeah, no, we're actually in the beginning. You know, right now I'm not involved anymore because you know, we're approaching different folks. But in the beginning, we're going to VCs, and it was actually really challenging because this space is very different from what Silicon Valley is used to. So this isn't like a shiny social media like app. So we didn't really, you know, have a lot of success with VCs. So we actually went to the funeral industry raising more money because their initial seed money came from the funeral industry. So we went back there and raised more money. So I think we'll probably might be able to raise more from the funeral industry, because I mean, it's great because they want change and they're working with us. So I think we really have a good opportunity to succeed and raise more money and actually make it into something big.
Nice one.
I guess on the upside, the funeral industry is one that is always consistent. There's no crush in the funeral industry. Everyone's there. You know, we live, we die, we pay taxes.
Yeah.
Yep, exactly.
Okay, Anna, so where can they get hold of you if they want to get in contact with you with this sort of thing? And what's your final view of the show, and have you enjoyed it?
Oh, my gosh, such a great show. Thank you so much for having me. I'm looking forward to coming back again.
Yes, please do.
Hopefully soon, and visiting you guys in Australia. You could tweet at me at Anna on the web.
Yes.
So at Anna on the web. That's the best way to get a hold of me.
Good name. Great name. Okay, Jennifer.
And I thought the show was fantastic, and Bev and Andrew, Brad and Anna, it has been wonderful talking with you all, and I am really excited about your website as well, Anna. So you're welcome. And as for me, you can find me at jenniferruggiero.com, also getnerdywithit.com as well. But all my links are on jenniferruggiero.com. Okay.
You can get me on Twitter at Brad Oz on a Tech Webcast. Jennifer, we haven't asked about Jody or Steve yet. I'm quite surprised.
Oh, yeah, they have been, well, I guess Jody and Steve are on a date, but not with each other.
No, they're not.
I was going to say, people will ask questions.
Yeah, they will.
They're on a Valentine's Day date, I would imagine.
I think so, yeah. I think Jodie.
Yeah, but they'll be back next week, right?
Yes, that's correct. Yeah, Jodie, we'll be back next week for sure. Definitely, she promised me.
Same bat time, same bat channel.
Yes, exactly. Mm. Yeah, Jodie, we'll be back next week. I can't wait. Yeah. Okay, Andrew, what about you? What's your final view on the show? And where can they get
hold of you? Yes, been great, and really lovely to have you on, Anna. And if you want to have a look at Passare, it's PASSARE.com. So you know, we all encourage you to go and have a look at that, particularly when they release their new website next week, and just get your head around this. It's something that I think we all sort of think about, but this gives you a real avenue to do it from the comfort of your own iPad at home without even having to go out and talk to weird, crazy people like that. So you can get me at Cunning Drew on Twitter and on Facebook and various other places around the web, or at Zappo.com/@Andrew.
Good stuff, mate. Good stuff. Beverly, is Wayne around at all? Can we have a chat with quick?
Actually, he's just walked in, Brad, so I will put him straight on.
Please
do. I'll take my ears off. Anna, it's been absolutely fantastic. Very interesting what you're doing, because we're always going to need a funeral parlor. We're always going to need undertakers. So well done on that. Yeah. I wish you all the best with that.
I agree.
Thank you, Beverly.
I agree. Come back.
You're welcome.
Come back
I'll
in a minute.
Put the ears on Wayne now.
Okay.
Hello, everyone.
Hello, Wayne. How are you, mate?
Good, mate. How are you?
Good, buddy. What have you been up to?
Saturday's race day, mate. It's income day.
Is it really?
Yeah. It's got to be. Yeah.
Right. Good stuff.
Oh, there you go. Good stuff.
Good stuff. What do you do, Wayne? Tell the listeners what you do, mate, before we wrap up.
Bookmaker at the races. I take people bet with me at the races, and they come up and put their hard earned on with me, and the key to it all is adjusting the prices so I reduce my liability as low as possible, and then I got to hope like hell that those horses don't win.
Do they ever lose or?
Hey?
Do they ever win or lose?
Oh, hell yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, but I've been doing it 33 years, so it must be serving me okay.
That's good, mate. Good on you. Good on you. All right. So, that's good. Are you on Twitter at all? Do you use Twitter?
No, mate. Wouldn't even know how to turn Twitter on.
Okay, I think Andrew needs to help you with that. That's good to get on Twitter. Where can I get Beverly on Twitter, Andrew?
They can get her at Beverly, that name, whatever that is.
Maybe,
I'll tell you something,
maybe,
Brad. You can ahead. Get me on Zarfo, but.
There you go, Wayne. Yep, at Zarfo. And you do a video each week, right, for tips and stuff?
Yeah. I've been doing it now for a while.
A 10-minute roundup on the week's race.
Yeah, good stuff. Good stuff, mate. Good stuff. Yeah, all right, appreciate it, Wayne. Thanks for coming on,
pleasure.
Mate. Good
one. Anytime.
All right.
Catch up with everyone.
Yep, you too, mate. You too.
Thanks, mate.
Thanks, mate.
See you later.
All right, maybe we can get Bev on again just for a quick second, then we can wrap up. right. She's coming back on in a minute.
Hopefully. Are you talking about me? Yes. I am not. I'm back.
Okay, Bev, what's your Twitter username and where can they get hold of you?
Oh, mainly at Zypho.com. And I haven't been using my Twitter lately, to be honest. I've just been so busy. But, yeah, once I get back onto it, then I will give everybody my Twitter name.
All right. Sure. I think it's Beverly or something, isn't it? Beverly.
Yeah, it's Beverly Ann Fairless.
We'll update it next week.
Anyway. Yeah, I'll get all that updated in my new name.
Great stuff. Can't wait. All right. Thanks, guys, for being on. Appreciate it.
Great, Brad.
Thank you, Beverly. No, thanks, Ann.
Thanks, everyone, and we will see you next week.
Yep, definitely.
Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, Glenn from Aussie Tech Heads. Join Will, Eric, and myself as we bring you the latest, most up-to-date, important tech news that affects you from Australia and the world. Weekly podcast available each Friday through iTunes. Watch the live stream recording of the show at live.thesecrethub.com each Thursday night, 7:30 p.m. or GMT plus 10. Call in live via Skype or chat in our lounge. However you get us, just make sure you do. Listen or visit our website for more information, www.aussietechhead.com.au. Aussie Tech Heads, Australia's longest running tech news podcast.
Well, that's it for Tech Webcast this week. Thank you for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed having your mind expanded. Tune in next week for more tech talk with Brad, Jason, and whatever crazy guests they've managed to rope in. Don't forget to get the Tech Webcast app from iTunes. Follow us on Twitter at Tech Webcast, and of course, check us out on Facebook too. Until next time, may the tech be with you. Peace!